What's making news in regional Australia? Jess Davis is in the country driver's seat today. She's a rural reporter from ABC Ballarat. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, PK.
So animal cruelty within the wool trade has resurfaced as an issue in Britain's wool trade thanks to animal rights group PETA. What's actually happened for this to be on their radar?
That's right. So last week, the BBC broadcast a story that PETA had given them this exclusive footage. They'd gotten workers rouseabout, so that's the people who collect the wool as the shearers are shearing, and filmed secretly in shearing sheds. And there's footage of shearers punching sheep, kicking sheep, throwing them, mishandling them. You know, it's pretty nasty stuff. And it's very much a copycat of what they did in Australia 3 or 4 years ago. So they have used that as their model. They did the same thing, got workers rouseabouts, filmed this abuse in shearing sheds, and that actually led to 6 convictions here in Victoria. And in the UK, the RSPCA is now investigating that footage, so there could be charges laid against shearers over there as well.
Okay, so let's get to this, the Australian context for this, because I know you worked on a similar story on Australia's wool trade and animal cruelty back in 2017, back last year, all those 1 year ago. There was a pretty significant court case over this. How did that work out?
That's right. So it was the first time shearers had actually been convicted of animal cruelty, and 6 shearers were convicted. They all were banned from shearing for a couple of years as well as fined. And that all came about because of this footage that PETA had taken in the shearing sheds. And then there was an investigation by Agriculture Victoria and charges were laid. And it was quite a drawn out process. The footage first emerged in 2014 and the last court cases and convictions were last year, as we just said. And that was a massive shake-up for the industry. So it really made the industry look at itself and come up with some ways of being much more stringent with animal welfare. And the judge in that case actually said, for so long, you know, Australian shearing is such an iconic industry, but for so long shearing sheds have been closed to the public, and what's happened in the shearing shed has stayed in this shearing shed, but that's no longer the case. There's all this scrutiny on what's happening in shearing sheds now. And I've spoken to farmers and contractors over the last few days who've said a lot of them now have animal welfare officers, and they have a one strike and you're out policy. So they've gotten a lot stricter on this.
All right, let's move to this big story on, it's drought related, that's for sure. We've talked a lot about the drought on RN Drive, and in this segment especially, there have been calls for the federal government to halt hay exports to help farmers. How would that work?
That's right. So, I mean, the federal government would actually have to declare a state of emergency in order to do this.
And I think the minister said they're not going to do that.
They're
right?
Not going to do that. No. But it's sort of this knee-jerk reaction. We have very low supplies of hay, and I spoke to the fodder industry, said it's the lowest you want it to get in terms of commercial fodder availability. I mean, people still have some fodder in their sheds on their farms, but in terms of what you can buy, we're basically at zero. And so this has led to really high hay prices, and we've seen all those images of trucks rolling across the country from Western Australia and Victoria, where there is still a lot of fodder around. And so it has been this calling and outcry from farmers and members of the public saying, why should we be sending hay to Japan and China when we don't have enough to give our farmers here?
And those calls are facing a backlash from exporters, clearly, aren't they?
They are. And it is really an unrealistic call, because it's only 10 to 15% of our annual production of hay is exported, and a lot of that has already left our shores. And the export industry said even if we did do that, that wouldn't be enough to solve the problem, and it would also kill this industry overnight. So most of the hay is bound up in contracts, and they would have to break those contracts, which would mean that the countries we export to would simply go to other places. And it's an industry we've built up over 30 years. And in the good years, farmers sell their surplus hay back to the exporters. So in the good years, the farmers aren't going to have the benefit of having that export industry, and we'll have so much hay when the rain hopefully does come that the domestic prices will plummet as well.
Let's just hear a bit of Agriculture Minister David Littleproud. He addressed the media today. Here's some of what he had to say about the Rural Financial Counselling Service.
These are the angels of the drought. These are our people that are out there at the kitchen table helping you fill out that form, be able to make that application. So please do not self-assess. It is so important that you reach out to the Rural Financial Counselling Service. We're going to have more bodies on the ground.
Are there concerns about farmers reaching out for help?
I think that one of the big problems is the federal government's announced all of this funding for the farmhold allowance, but no one's accessing it, or very few farmers are accessing it. And it is true, farmers do struggle sometimes to reach out and ask for help. And there's also a lot of bureaucracy involved, frankly. You've got a lot of forms to fill out. A lot of farmers don't know what they're eligible for. So it makes a lot of sense to finance these rural financial counsellors, or to fund them, so that it's easier for farmers to access all of these funding announcements that the federal government have announced over recent weeks.
It is. Anyone who's ever filled in a Centrelink form knows the horror.
Exactly.
All right. Speaking of drought relief measures, a dairy industry lobby group is asking customers to pay an extra 10 cents a litre for milk to support drought-stricken farmers. How would that help? What's the idea about?
So this has been promoted by the Queensland Dairy Organisation, and they've launched a national campaign. They've got an online petition. So they want a 10 cent levy on milk. So they're basically asking the supermarkets to get on board, add an extra 10 cents to the milk so that that money would then go back to farmers. And they actually want that 10 cents to go to the farmers where that milk came from. So it's very specific. I'm not sure how they would logistically do that. But the online petition, it's gaining a little bit of traction. When I looked a little while ago, it was up to 3,500 signatures and increasing pretty quickly. But it's the supermarkets haven't responded yet. So yet to see whether they would be getting on board an idea like this.
So we don't know how the suggestion's being received. It's still too early?
Still too early, yeah. It's just the last couple of days that this has come about. So no response from the supermarkets yet.
10 cents, is it? I suppose it depends really on how much stress you're under financially, but would it make that much of a difference to consumers if, I suppose, there was a good cause behind it?
I don't think consumers would mind. I mean, what's been reported on so far is that consumers are behind the idea. They like the idea. But, how much that money would go back to actually helping the farmers. But dairy farmers, they are under a lot of stress because, as we're talking about the hay prices going up and fodder, grain prices for dairy farmers and feed prices are just through the roof. So they are actually really struggling through this drought as well.
Jess, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, PK.
Jess Davis is a rural reporter at ABC Ballarat. This is RN Drive. Patricia Carvelis with you. Lots still coming up on RN Drive. We're going to talk about a podcast called Silent Waves. It's about abuse inside families. Now, it's an incredible story. We're going to be talking about it in the drawing room tonight. And also after the news, we're going to be talking about the Australian-Japan relationship and a call by a particular academic who's going to join me for a strengthening of that relationship. It's all coming up after the news, but it's news time now. It's 7:00.